His name. Oh, how I love the Savior's name, the sweetest name on earth.
You'd like to turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 26. And we'll look at the passage we read from verse 36 to 57. It's a long passage, but so we're going to go through it fairly quickly. But this is a part of Jesus' experience as he had come to Jerusalem and was facing betrayal and arrest and eventually the crucifixion. In Matthew's Gospel there's quite a large body of teaching by Jesus between the time that he came in to Jerusalem riding on a donkey and the time that he was betrayed and arrested in chapter 26. But we're going to, just to set the context, we're going to look briefly at chapter 26, looking at verse 1, 2 and 3 really to start with. It came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as the Jews have it, the Passover meal. And the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." The Passover was in the Old Testament was when the lamb was slain and the blood was shed on the lintels and doorposts of the homes of their houses, so that when the angel of death went over, the people of God would be kept safe. And that is a picture of what Jesus has done in the New Testament for his people. Now you find the original for that in the book of Exodus. Came to pass then, you know, he says, the disciples, that after 2 days is the after 2 days is the Passover meal. And we're going to meet at the end of this service around what we call the Lord's table, which is a reenactment in a very brief and simple way of the Passover meal, which Jesus reinstituted among his disciples on the night before he was betrayed. Then verse 3, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." And then if you would turn over to verse 15 of chapter 26, verse 14, sorry. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him," that's Jesus, "to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. And so from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. And then if you go on to the passage we read, verse 36, then Jesus came with them, with the disciples, to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus wanted to pray, and he took with him three of the leading disciples, Peter, James, and John. He told them that he was going to be betrayed. In fact, he told them twice earlier than the passage we're reading, but he'd warned them that he was going to be betrayed, and he was going to be crucified, and that he would rise again in the resurrection on the third day. And now he wanted to pray. So they came to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "You sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter, James, and John, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me." And he meant, watch and pray with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. It's good for us to fall on our faces before God, if not physically, at least metaphorically, to humble ourselves beneath the mighty hand of God. And although Jesus was the Son of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he humbled himself before his Father, and he prayed to his Father. And he says, "O my Father," verse 39, "if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." He's praying to God. He knows his Father. He was, before he came into this world, with his Father in heaven from all eternity. And he's saying, "Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." The cup he's talking about is symbolic of the suffering of Christ. When we come around the Lord's table, we will take a cup of wine. Jesus said to his disciples, "This wine is my blood. This do in remembrance of me." So he's saying, "Lord, if it's possible, I don't want to die. I really don't want to die. But not my will, but your will is to be done." It's not that he was unwilling to do God's will. He came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to give his life a ransom for many. He came into the world so that he might die and take our sins in his own body on the cross, but that he would rise again. And so that you and I, if we're Christians, if we trust in Christ, should never have to die that kind of death. "The soul that sinneth," says the Old Testament, "it will die." And that's the reality. Reality is that we are sinners, that Jesus Christ came into the world to be our Saviour. You know that he went about doing good, healing the sick, and teaching the people, and many other things. But ultimately he came to die for sinners, to offer up his body and soul as a sacrifice for sin. And now he's praying, Lord, he's coming to the point of reality. And now he's saying, Lord, my soul is sorrowful, even unto death. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He's saying that he's determined to do God's will. He's willing to do God's will. He's willing to die upon the cross for sinful men and women. But at the same time, if there's another way that God's will could be fulfilled, then he was willing to do that as well. And then he came to the disciples, verse 40, and found them sleeping. What a contrast. Here is Jesus, sorrowful even unto death, and the disciples are sleeping. Now, we're a bit like that, aren't we? Very often. We get tired. Obviously we get tired. Jesus got tired. He was truly a man. But he was facing an awful death. And he was seeking God's help and God's presence with him. But they were sleeping. And he said to Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's, again, very much like us, isn't it? We say we are willing. We say that we trust in our Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. We say that we are prepared to follow Jesus, whatever the cost might be. Spirit is willing, but the flesh, the body and the soul is weak. And he went a second time to pray, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. He knew in himself that this had to happen. He was like any man. He didn't want to die. He was a perfect man and a normal man in every respect. But now he's preparing himself for what he knows is inevitable, because it is God's will. It is God's purpose. It is something God planned from the beginning of time. And now this was coming to the end of his time. He said in that first verse 2, actually, of chapter 26. You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. And the disciples, when they went into the city, were to say to the man who owned the donkey and whose house they were going to meet at, verse 18, the teacher, that's Jesus, says, my time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover at your house. A number of times, if you read earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, a number of times when people said certain things to him, he would say, my time has not yet come. But now he said to his disciples to say to the teacher, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And in keeping the Passover, he was, as it were, symbolizing and illustrating God's plan that the Messiah would come and he would live a life without sin, and he would die the death as a sacrifice for sin. His time had come. He went a second time to pray, verse 42. If this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand. He told them after the second, after the first prayer, watch and pray, verse 40, lest you enter into temptation. Watch and pray. My hour is come. Now, in verse 45, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. And while he was speaking, verse 47, he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, one of the 12 apostles, one of the 12, with a great multitude, came with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. And now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, he is the one, seize him. And immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Betrayal, deceit, greeting Jesus as a friend, as the teacher, Rabbi, and immediately betraying him to his enemies. They came and they laid hands on Jesus, verse 50, and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? A warning to those who take up the sword, who use violence, they will perish by the sword. And a statement of Jesus' power. Do you not think that I can now pray to my Father? He'd just been praying. I could now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels. He could do that, but he didn't do that. How then, if he had done that, verse 54, could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? Not only was Jesus fulfilling God's plan, but Jesus was fulfilling the prophecies of scripture. The Old Testament prophets had predicted time and again that when the Messiah came, he would be the suffering servant of the Lord. You can read about it in Isaiah. And he would die as a sacrifice for sin, fulfilling God's plan, but also fulfilling God's word, because the scriptures are the word of God. The scriptures are the truth. And this death and all these events had been predicted many times in the Old Testament and again in the New Testament. You remember John the Baptist in the New Testament, crying out, behold, the the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. The fulfilling of the scriptures which reveal the plan of God's salvation. And in that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, verse 55, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." There it is again, verse 56. The fulfilling of the scriptures spoken and written by the prophets. "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." If we're Christians, I think we might see ourselves with those disciples. Peter had said that whatever happened, that he would not, if you look back to verse 31 of the chapter, Jesus said to the disciples, after they'd sung a hymn, they went out to Mount Olivet. Verse 30, "Then Jesus said to the disciples, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written,'" this is from Zechariah in the Old Testament, "'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised," notice there the prediction of the resurrection, "after I have been raised to life again, I will go before you to Galilee.'" And Peter said, verse 13, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Peter was a good man. He was a brave man in many respects. But this was all too much for Peter. Even though everybody else, all these disciples are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And assuredly I say to you, this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. But when he was betrayed, as we saw in verse 56, all the disciples, including Peter, of course, forsook him and fled. The arrest and torture and crucifixion of Jesus was no light thing, as we shall see. I'm going to continue on with this theme tonight, so you can read the rest, hear the rest of the story. If you can come tonight, if you can't, then read it from verse 57 to verse 75 at the end of the chapter. It was a scary thing. It was an awful thing. These men were determined to kill Jesus, to put him to death. They would not have this man to reign over them. They would not trust in Jesus Christ to have their sins forgiven. Jesus prayed, and all the disciples, first of all, slept, and then forsook him and fled. Let's sing our third hymn, 156. Sorry? 207. 207. Sorry. Look what it says, 207. "Go to dark Gethsemane, ye that feel the tempter's power," the tempter being the devil, the wicked one, "your Redeemer's conflict see. Watch with him one bitter hour. Turn not from his griefs away. Learn of Jesus Christ to pray." He prayed. We need to pray. 207, let's stand and sing. We don't.